through thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Let's sing it. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where
you be if Jesus hadn't rescued you just in time? Where would you be this morning? You know where I would be? I don't think there's any question. I'd be in torment. I would not have made it. I know the route I was on. Thank God for the lighthouse. Open your Bible to the book of St. John, chapter 16. Verse 7. The book of St. John, chapter 16, verse 7. Now listen to what I'm going to preach this morning. I'm going to preach on grieve not, quench not, and reject not the Holy Ghost. Grieve not, quench not, and reject not the Holy Ghost. I want you to listen carefully. We're going to start in the book of St. John, chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, this is Jesus talking, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I depart not, I will not send him unto you. And when he has come, talking about the Comforter now, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I missed the word while ago, for if I go not, the Comforter will not come. Now I missed that word Comforter. That's very important. But if I depart, he said, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of judgment and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you. Many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he is come, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. And notice this carefully. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. This is probably one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible about the coming of the Holy Ghost. And it tells us specifically what the Holy Ghost will do. There's three things. There's also three things that hinder us from yielding to this truth. And I want to talk about both the promise and the three things he does, and the hindrance, the three things that hinder the church world. Father, help me preach this morning this wonderful truth in such a manner that our lives will be affected the rest of our existence, that we will learn the mastery of the Holy Ghost. We will learn the significance of his mastery, and our lives will be affected, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now listen to me carefully as I try to preach to you about grieve not, quench not, and reject not the Holy Ghost. If I preach to you about these three negatives, they would not mean as much, I don't think. Except I first promise you, show you the promise of why the Holy Ghost is being sent by Christ to his church. The Holy Ghost wasn't sent as just a political thing or a religious thing or just to keep the covenant that God had made with Israel. The Holy Ghost was coming for a mighty and a very specific reason. And Jesus lays out that reason. Now there are lots of promises about the coming of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power. He talked about the Comforter. He talked about him teaching us, him guiding us. But in this particular scripture, he deals with something that has to do with reproof. Reproof. He comes to reprove. He comes to set straight. He comes to give you direction. He comes to carefully reprove you when things are out of order in your life. You must understand that the Holy Ghost comes to help you walk straight. The Holy Ghost comes to help you go in the right direction. The Holy Ghost comes to correct you when you are wrong. The Holy Ghost comes to be the master of your life, and he comes to be the master of ceremonies of the church. I'm not supposed to be the master of ceremonies. Often I find myself fitting in that particular category, and it's not good. It is the Holy Ghost who is the master of ceremonies. And every service needs to be under the sovereignty of the Holy Ghost. Every service needs to be under his guidance. And your life, when you became a Christian, the moment you got saved, the very day that you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit set himself as the master of your life. He is to guide you. He is to show you. He is to deal with you. He is to reprove you. He is to reprove you. All three of these great things that John is telling us the Holy Ghost will do, and he's, of course, quoting Jesus. Everything he's telling us has to do with reproving us. Reproving us of sin. Reproving us of righteousness. reproving us of the judgment to come. He is really coming to get us ready to go to heaven. He is coming to get us ready to inherit the eternal life that is ours down the road. And that's why the Holy Ghost has come. He's come to deal with you. He's come to correct you. He's come to reprove you. He's come to make something really special out of you. Think about how the Holy Ghost saves a person. They become born again. They meet the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Their sins are forgiven. And immediately the Holy Spirit comes to dwell. The Bible says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. He has to come to you the moment you are saved. You're not saved by your good works. You're saved by the Holy Spirit, moving by the blood of Jesus and the Word of God and all the graces of Christ. He comes to make a new person out of you. But He doesn't just come and save you. He immediately begins to reprove you. He begins to deal with you. If every person in this sanctuary would become careful under the reproof of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't need me to ever tell you anything wrong in your life. You wouldn't need me to preach a thing out of the Bible that's corrective and that will show you the right way, because the Holy Spirit has come to dwell with you as a born-again believer and to guide you day by day, hour by hour, all the way from here to glory. Hallelujah. And without the guidance and without the mastery of the Holy Spirit, I would be a disaster. I know me good enough to know that I could not have made it. When I was saved, I didn't know one verse of Scripture. When I was saved, I didn't know one thing about God. I didn't know one thing about Christian living. I didn't know nothing about the things I should not do. But immediately, something began to tell me things that had to be changed in my life. I never picked up another cigarette. Never. Never. I never used slang words. Never. Never again. I never again did some things that I'd been doing all my life. And I didn't know what was right and what was wrong, but somebody did. Somebody or everybody, would you raise your hand and say, I welcome the Holy Spirit to start teaching me. I welcome the Holy Spirit to start reproving me. I think a pastor is burdened with too many responsibilities today of trying to guide the church straight. The pastor is burdened with too many things that he's constantly trying to deal with in the lives of his people. And it shouldn't be that way. He is the one who came to reprove you. He is the one who came to set your life straight. He is the one who came to guide you down the straight path of obeying God. And if you will listen to Him, you can make it if I didn't exist. And if no other pastor existed. Now, I love being a pastor. And I love being involved in being a blessing to you. But, oh, how I long that the Holy Spirit will become so real in today's church. Now, this is not how it used to be. I remember when I got saved, brother, there was such a move of the Holy Ghost in the house of God, you couldn't get away with nothing. I mean, I remember how God would deal with people that had no background, just like I didn't. And immediately their life would begin to take on a beauty and a luster and a loveliness that made them a joy. Oh, what a beautiful thing this is to think about. The Holy Ghost has come to reprove you. The Holy Ghost has come to direct you. He is not going to use a brush broom on you. He's not going to come to you with some kind of bitter and vicious manner. He's going to come to you with the tenderness of a heavenly spirit. He's going to come to you with grace and beauty. Now, you can get so disobedient that you do come unto judgment, but that's not what He wants. He wants to guide you in the beauty of a godly life. Let's look at those three things. Number one, He come to reprove you of sin. You know, Jesus didn't want to leave His disciples, but the only way the Holy Ghost could come and be manifest to a multitude And Jesus could only be one place at the time, was that Jesus would go back to heaven. He made that plain in the first verse. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. But if I go, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove. See, the Holy Ghost came to do what Jesus had been doing. Go with me to the mount overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Go with me where Jesus goes up on the mountain and sits down. And his disciples by the thousands come around him. And he begins to teach them. You think I have a booming voice? I would suggest his was more booming than mine. If he could talk to 5,000 without a microphone. But he could. And he did. And he taught them. Remember the great Beatitudes? How many of you know the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ? Blessed are the poor in spirit is the first one. And on down through the list, he was teaching them a wonderful way to live. And so he said, I'm going to go away. And the reason I'm sending back the Comforter is because he's going to reprove you of sin, because I'm not going to be here to do it. I'm not going to be here to reprove you of sin. I can't tell you all that's wrong with your life. And so I'm sending the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he will reprove you. Now think about that. That is so special. That is so intimate. It is actually breathtaking. Jesus could speak to the thousands, but nobody could ask him questions, or at least only a few. But the Holy Ghost has come, and everybody can ask him questions. Did you know when the Holy Ghost comes and he begins to dwell with you and you have questions in your mind, you can breathe those questions when you are praying, when you're studying your Bible, and I will promise you before God, without one question, he will answer every sincere thing you ask him. How many knows he will? Let me see your hand. He will deal with you. He will minister to you. The Lord Jesus said he will come to reprove you because I won't be here to reprove you. He's coming to correct you because I won't be here to correct you. Now do you understand? The Holy Spirit has come to reprove you of sin. Anything in your life that has no business being there. If you will humble yourself, if you will become devoted to him in prayer, if you will start listening to his voice, if you will, what does the Bible say? If you will walk in the light as he is in the light. Hear that. Listen to that. If you will walk in the light as he is in the light, he will reprove you of sin. Hallelujah. That's what he's here to do. He wants to make your life straight. He wants to make it beautiful. And we live in a church world that knows nothing of the reproving presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here this morning to beg you to let the Holy Spirit start reproving you. I want to know. I'm 66 and a half year a Christian from 1952 when I was saved. And I'm here to tell you that I need his reproof as much today as I did when I got saved. It is amazing to me the kind of things I feel. I came early this morning, 6 o'clock, and got here before the Lord. And the Lord began to deal with me with something that I've been wrestling with for months on end. And it's just almost destroyed me. And this morning, I looked up to my Father, and I was squalling. I said, Father, I give it up. I'm going to tell you what it is. For 14 months and 7 days, I refused to give up my Juanita. I've loved her with all my heart. And I've said to God, no, I will not give her up. My family says, why don't you put a marker on the grave? I said, I can't do it till I give her up. This morning, by the grace of God, I turned her loose and I gave her to God. And I felt a relief from my head down to my toes. I've been desperate to do that, but I couldn't. I'm sorry, there's tears. I couldn't. But this morning, I could. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost of God got a hold of an old heart that needed to make a surrender. And I did. I did, Brother Beatty. It was time to do it. But it was hard to do. And I squalled in doing it. But I felt a relief when it was over. Now, somebody raise a hand and tell God I'm ready to listen. Tell God you're ready to listen. Raise your hand and just let the Holy Ghost be real to you. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost wants to be real to you every day of your life. He wants to reprove you. He wants to make you beautiful and lustrous. He wants to make you a blessing. He wants to make you a successful believer. But you got to listen. He will reprove. Oh, I feel this at the bottom of my heart, church. Hallelujah. He wants to reprove you of sin. And don't tell me you don't have mistakes and sins. We all will have them sometime. I'm not condoning them. They break my heart when I have them. But he says, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And he's not just my advocate. He's all of our advocate. Hallelujah. And he will reprove you of sin. And then he will reprove you of righteousness. I don't know what righteousness is. Well, open your ears and your heart and start listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to have some prayer time. You got to have some real prayer time. There's nothing needed anymore today than saints of God. The church was meant to be a praying institution. The church was meant to be a house of prayer. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Jesus said that. Joe Chambers didn't say that. Hallelujah. And God's calling us to the kind of prayer life and the kind of devoted life, the kind of surrendered life that he can start talking to us about his righteousness. How many want the righteousness which is of Christ? How many want the righteousness that flows right out of the heart of God by the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes. But, you know, I need to preach a sermon on each of these three thoughts. But the next one, he will reprove you of judgment. Now, notice what he said. He's not talking about your judgment. He's not even talking about future judgment. He's talking about the judgment of the devil. He says, for the prince of this world has been judged. See, the Christians are allowing the devil to do the most idiotic things in their lives today because they forgot the devil can do nothing that you don't let him do. He's already been judged. He's already been sentenced. And his name is already on the roll call in hell. And he's soon to be there in all the flames of destruction. Hallelujah. He has no more power over me than a bird that might fly over my head. The only power he has is what Joe Chambers gives him. And what you give him. And if you let the devil, he'll make mincemeat out of you. He'll drive you insane. He'll have you so out of whack and out of mind and out of devotion. He will make a mess out of you. But it's your fault, not his. I should be pointing down. He's been judged. He don't have an ounce of power against me. Nothing. Unless I give it to him. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to the devil? You know, you always hear people say, the devil made me do that. The devil, no, the devil didn't make you do nothing. You let yourself do it. Now, he may have been talking. He may have been trying to whisper, but cut him off. Close his mouth. Tell him to shut up. You can't tell me and other friends that, but you can tell the devil, shut up, devil. I ain't listening to you no longer. So you see, God sent the Holy Ghost to take you in his hands of love, in his tender and compassionate graces. I wish I could make you feel the Holy Ghost like I feel him. The Holy Ghost is the most compassionate and gracious being. Hallelujah. He represents every grace that is present in the Father and in the Son. He represents every grace of all the angels of heaven. He is grace. Hallelujah. In marvelous beauty and power. Not just a moment, but a movement. I'm telling you, the grace of God, the grace in the the Holy Spirit is brooding over us like an old mother hen over her little bitties. It's a little higher. Oh, raise your hand and say, I'll just be a little bitty under the great shepherd's wings of love and grace. Oh, hallelujah. I walked in here yesterday morning and I started quoting the Lord's 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, when I say the Lord is my shepherd, what am I saying? I'm saying the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord sends His Holy Spirit to do everything He represents. And so I said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. I like that. Sometimes my soul gets empty feeling. How many of you ever had your soul feel empty? Do you know where to go? Anybody know where to go when your soul feels empty? The shepherd restoreth your soul. He leadeth you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's everywhere you look today. There's death everywhere. There's death in the on the television. Death on faith. I mean, it's amazing how much death is out there. But you and I can walk right in the middle of it and not have an ounce of fear. The Lord is my shepherd. The Holy Ghost is what. Oh, I want to preach about this a while, but let me go quickly. I want to talk about those three beautiful things that reveal all the loveliness of the Holy Spirit. If anything reveals the loveliness of the Holy Spirit, it is these three great powers. Go with me. Number one, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Let me read you one verse. Verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Quench not the Spirit. Now that's a quick statement. That's a four-word sentence. But it's a lot bigger than you understand. Quench not the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. That's 1 Thessalonians 5 and what was it, 19? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19. Listen, the Holy Spirit moves around you. He moves upon you. He moves within you. He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. That means there is nowhere He is not. That means there is no spot on earth. There's no spot in your world. There's no spot on your work day. There's no spot in your automobile. There's no spot in your backyard where the Holy Spirit is not. And He constantly is dealing with you. And He says, quench not the Spirit. He is so compassionate. He is so full of grace. He is so full of love that He's moving upon your heart. And you feel the luster of His presence. And you know He's in the house. But you are so busy with your world that you quench Him. You don't respond to Him. You feel the Holy Ghost moving on you. And you could raise your hand and start speaking in the heavenly language. But you don't. You're afraid you'll be in the flesh. Well, you'll always be in the flesh until you are glorified or die. And so when the Holy Spirit moves, yield to Him. He said, quench not the Spirit. If you feel like the Lord's telling you, I'm going to get personal here. If you feel like the Lord's telling you something you ought to quit doing, why do you quench Him? What do you need, a brick bat upside of your head to obey the sweetness of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit don't desire to come to you with some strong and harsh manner. He comes to you with compassion. He is a person just like you are. Sometimes I will be dealing with praying for somebody in the family. And I will weep and sob because they're just not trying to do right. I think of a man right now. He's not here this morning. And so I'm not going to call his name, so don't worry. But I want to see that man blessed. I've been going by. I've been sending him texts. I'm doing everything I know to do, but I'm not getting anywhere. And my heart hurts. Now think about this. When the Holy Spirit is trying to deal with you, and He's not getting anywhere. The Holy Spirit feels that. Did you know the Holy Spirit can feel grief? Let me see your hand if you know it. The Holy Spirit can feel pain. Did you know the Holy Spirit can feel rejection? Did you know the Holy Spirit can feel any carnal and fleshly and unclean thing that comes out of your mouth, that comes out of your action, that comes out of your thinking? The Holy Spirit is a person. He has a deep, profound, gracious heart. It is a heavenly heart. His graces are heavenly and not limited like mine, your grace. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is hurting for you. The Holy Ghost is bleeding for you. The Holy Ghost yearns for you. The Holy Ghost has compassion for you. And he says, don't quench me. Don't quench me. Quit quenching me, pushing me away. Have you ever, you men, ever tried to tell your sweetheart you loved her? And she said, now, Dad, I don't have time for that. Would you come back later? And you feel so wounded. Now, put that multiplied many times over in the Holy Spirit's camp. The Holy Ghost loves you. Brother Chambers, he can't love me all by myself. He can love you individually just as real as if you were the only person that existed on the face of this earth. He can feel the pain. He can feel the rejection. He can feel your stubbornness. He can feel your continual doing your own thing and going like you please to go. He feels every bit of that pain. And the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have time to go to the verse. It also says in Ephesians, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And that goes deeper, Brother Derek. Grieve? You mean the Holy Ghost can be grieved? That's what he said. How many believe that? How many of you would like to say, Brother Chambers, this morning, I'm going to start a new walk with Christ, and I'm going to be careful to never grieve the Holy Spirit? Would you step up your hand? To never grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't see many hands, and I can understand. I don't want to ever grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a divine being. He is God just as surely as the Father is God, and just as surely as Jesus is God. And his ability to be grieved is almost, I don't know how to explain it. It's over my head. But all I know is when he's dealing with me, and he's loving me, and he's caring for me, and I grieve him, I immediately feel the pain of it. Have you ever felt hurt inside because you've been grieving the Holy Ghost? I'm here to tell every one of you sitting under my voice that the Holy Spirit wants to be as personal to you as if you were the only person that existed on the face of this earth. And he is just as capable of dealing with hunger and concern for 10 million at the time as he is for half a dozen of us. He cares about you. And he's grieved when you reject him. Amen. You treat things of God like they're non-existent. You treat things of God like, well, I'll just keep getting by. You're careless in all kinds of things. And I'm being careful to not sound like I'm just beating at somebody. I want you to know the Holy Ghost is grieved at any way, at any time, that you're not obedient. And you're not surrendered. And you're not yielded. When he comes on you and moves upon, you know, up and down your back spine. You ever felt just the tingle of the presence of the Holy Ghost? And you just sit there like you are too busy for him. I'll never forget one day I was watching a TV thing for just to learn about this particular person. And I heard a man say, wait a minute, God. I'll be back in a minute. This man actually thought he could tell God. He had to wait on him. When God shows up, don't tell him to wait, because he ain't going to wait. It's now or never. It's then. Well, he's gracious. Sometimes he keeps coming. But you know why people backslide and you just can't get them back to God? It's because they grieve the Holy Ghost so many times, he finally left them alone. If you leave the Holy Ghost alone when he is dealing with you and you grieve him, you've got to understand it won't happen but too many times. And when it happens that last time, and he says, okay, if that's how you feel, and he moves on. Now, I've got to go to one more. This is in the book of Acts. And it says, resist not the Holy Ghost. See, quench, resist, grieve, resist. And there's a fourth one, but I'm not going to go there with the sermon this morning. That's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But resisting. Everybody in this building, God is trying to make a saint out of you. Everybody in this building, God has a plan for your life. Hear me, young people. God has a plan for every life in this building. God has a place in the ministry for you. Oh, I don't mean preaching. There are many ministries in the church. There's even one called helps. Boy, that's a good one. Anybody have the gift of helps? Yep, he does. How many of you, Brother Beatty, you got the gift of helps? How many times have you come? They come yesterday to fix that light bulb, and they had the wrong thing to make the transition, and so they've got to order it, and they'll be back, and they have to build a scaffold and scare me to death when they get somebody up there on that thing to make sure they don't get hurt. I mean, it really is. But we need help. That's a gift. There's all kinds. Every lady in this church, there's a place for you. Every man in this church, there's a labor for you. I stood out there this morning thinking, I wish I had some ushers. I need four ushers that would take care of the hallway every Sunday morning. But we just need some more men. I mean, everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. You know, I'm telling you, the church needs workers and helpers. And the Holy Ghost is right here in this church. He was here at 6 o'clock this morning. I felt the glory of his presence. And he's here right now. And he's talking to you. And he wants you to quit resisting him and start doing the things that you could do for the kingdom. So now remember as I close, three things. He comes to reprove you of sin. And he will reprove you if you're his. You say, nothing bothers me about the world and sin. Well, then you probably aren't saved. Because when you really get saved, things will start dealing with you. He will reprove you. I want to be reproved, don't you? I sometimes come to the altar, Brother Danny, and I just cry out, God, please show me. If there's something wrong this morning that I don't know and I can't see it, correct me, Lord, and let me be what you want me to be. I pray that way regular. Everybody ought to pray that way. But don't pray that way if you're not going to listen. That's very important. Don't you ask him to correct you if you're not willing to listen. Because correction without you listening is dangerous. So, reprove you of sin, of righteousness, and show you that the devil is defeated. And then three things. Remember, you can quench him. And you can grieve him. And you can resist him. But here I am. And I hope it's here you are. Lord, I surrender. If you can say, I want the Holy Ghost to start dealing with me in a way that changes my life and makes me everything that God wants me to be. If you can say that and mean it with all your heart, would you stand up right now? I want the Lord to start dealing with me. Would you tell him, I want the Lord to start dealing with me as never before. I want him to start taking a hold of me and shaking me good until I listen. I know he's going to be compassionate, but he'll move you if you want him to. Hallelujah. Oh, holy Cabrera. What in the world would come of this church if every person sitting here would become sensitive to the reproof of the Holy Ghost? What would happen with Paul Creek Ministry if every one of us would begin to yield to God and we would cease to ever, ever quench him or grieve him or resist him? And don't tell me that some of you have not been quenching him, because I can stand in that pulpit and I can feel it. I can look at your face sometimes and say, boy, something's bugging him to death. You know, it's easy. If you're a pastor, because I love every one of you, and I am duty bound to get you ready for the rapture. I can almost imagine a pastor, and he's before the Lord, and the rapture's taking place, and the pastor is bringing his people that he loved and presenting them to the Lord. here he comes with this lady, and he says, Lord, this lady has been such a pillar in our church. She has been so faithful. I mean, she's just always there right on time, Lord. She's always there carrying her burden. And Lord, here's another man in the church, and he's been over the young people, and he's worked hard, and he's done a good job, and he's put his life in it. Lord, I bring him to you. Then I come and say, now, Lord, here's one I've had to drag all the way. I've had to drag them every step. But they're here. Thank God for them, Lord. They're here. But I had to drag them all the way. And I feel like I'm going to have a bunch when I get to heaven that I'm going to have to say, Lord, I had to drag him. I had to drag her. I had to keep on pulling and pulling and pulling. Oh, God, but oh, how wonderful it's going to be for those saints where you can say, this man, this woman, this teenager, this young person, boy, have they been good. You understand what I'm saying? Am I communicating to you? It's so important. Now, I want you to lift your hand up to God. I'm not going to bring you to the altar this morning. You need to pray when you get home. Come back tonight at 5 and get on your knees with us. But I want you to lift up your hand. If you can say, God, start dealing with me more than ever. Are you willing to do that? God, start dealing with me more than ever. God, will you reprove me? Oh, I hope nobody here is so holy that you don't need to be reproved. Because I don't think there's anybody here like that. And I hope you don't think you are. So if you want to be reproved, let me see your hand up high, will you? I want to be reproved. I want God to deal with me. I want God to deal with me. I want God to make me what I ought to be. Halikotri antekbele ilohondru sevi. Thank you for your presence, Holy Ghost. I've preached to my people as best I know how, and I'm believing you to reprove us. Start with me, Lord. You started this morning. Continue, Lord. Continue dealing with me until I'm just like you want me to be. Make me until my life is sweetly yielded in every way to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus be the Lord of all. Can we sing that out, Brother Joe? But Sister Amy, just Jesus be the Lord of all. Without music, let's just sing it. Everybody. The kingdoms. Now, Lord, I surrender all. I wish I could hear everybody singing. Jesus. The kingdom. One more time, let's sing that. Second one, Jesus. I really do surrender all, Lord. I really do, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I surrender the kingdoms. You know, you do have a kingdom. And you can give it to him. I surrender all. I surrender all. Father, your presence is sweet. I've preached to the best of my heart and yearning. I put myself right here in need of every word of this sermon. I've not preached to correct others. I've preached also to correct Brother Chambers. Thank you for your love. Thank you for what you're doing. Give us a heart after God. Help us become sensitive that we know we're obedient. From our time schedule to what we do all week at our home, what we do in our free time, how we spend our money, how we treat our church, how we come to church on Wednesday or Sunday or whenever. Everything about my life. I'm surrendering to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I said something this week that I really loved. I remembered when I got saved, I was in a church that was a meal church. Everybody worked first and second and third shifts. One of those shifts, everybody that I remember. And I remember the saints coming into church on Wednesday night and standing up to testify and saying, "Now, I have not been able to come on Wednesday night, but for weeks I've been praying for God to get me off of that second shift so I can be in church on Wednesday night."
Walking by faith and living in love, I am covered, covered, covered by His blood. For Jesus has rescued me. Yes, I am covered, covered, covered by His blood. And walking by faith, I'm living in love. I am covered, covered, covered by His blood. For Jesus has rescued me. Oh, yes, I am covered, covered, I'm covered by His blood. I'm walking by faith and living in love. I am covered, covered, covered by His blood.
Would you stand and sing it with us?
Jesus has rescued me. Oh, yes, I am covered, covered, covered by His blood. Oh, I'm walking by faith and living in love. I am covered, covered, covered by His blood. For Jesus has rescued me. Now I am not bound by a life of sin, for I have found peace deep within. Now I'm resting in the palm of my Savior's hand. Oh, for I have been covered by the blood of the Lamb. I am covered, covered, covered by His blood. I'm walking by faith and living in love. I am covered, covered, oh, I'm covered by His blood. For Jesus has rescued me. Oh, now Satan has no hold on my life, for I can speak the name of Jesus Christ. He still comes knocking when he can. Oh, but I have been delivered by the blood of the Lamb. I am covered, covered, covered by His blood. I'm walking by faith and living in love. I am covered.